Well, hey guys, welcome to my daily update video. I trust you are well wherever you're watching this. Coming to you today from the city of Belfast in Northern Ireland, in one of my favorite cafes here. And today I'm gonna start a little mini series all on the subject of fasting. Why to fast, how to fast, the benefits of fasting, how not to fast, physically, practically how to fast, and I'm gonna talk about spiritual breakthrough with the Lord through fasting. Really important topic, one I've been experimenting with in the last 3 months, and I'll be honest, I'm amazed. I feel like I've seen things I've never seen and experienced before through fasting. And I'm gonna take the next 4 days and teach about this, and then on day 5, open that up. If anybody has any questions, feel free to submit those to me. And what I really encourage you to do is pray, explore, and be willing to maybe go on this journey with me and explore fasting. Good, let me do a few quick housekeeping things. If you are new to my YouTube channel, it's great to have you here. My name's Graham, I'm a British American. Live in the US, but travel internationally, love Jesus, preach revival, healing, the message of faith, and the spirit-filled life. Hey, I want to say thank you to all the new followers on my YouTube channel. I think at the moment we have about 220,000 subscribers there, so yeah, way to go. If you haven't yet subscribed, want to hit the button down there. A lot of things going on in my ministry. Probably the best place of catching up with me is my website, gjm.org, or our email newsletter we send out once a week. Sign up for that. And lastly, if you're watching this and you're not yet a believer in Jesus or a follower of Jesus, and I'd love to talk with you about what it means to become a Christian. Love to help you on that journey. Drop me a line if I can do that. Boom. So let's talk about fasting. I want to introduce this today. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about the why of fasting. Day 3, I want to talk about the how of fasting. And I'm going to finish and wrap this up with, in effect, what I call the fasted lifestyle. How to embrace a lifestyle where really fasting and living a life, food, yeah, but in many areas of our life where we're fasted from the world, and we're actually feasted in regarding the things of God. And then, as I said, on day 5, I will open that up for questions. I want to begin today reading the verse in Matthew 17, verse 20 and 21. It's the passage where Jesus has gone up the mountain transfiguration with Peter, James, John. Moses and Elijah show up. The glory of God's revealed and the Father speaks from heaven. Everything points to Jesus. Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets are all pointing at Jesus. And then they come down the valley from the Mount of Transfiguration, and the 9 remaining disciples are trying, without success, to set a boy free who is demonized, with a demon tormenting him. The boy's father brings a boy, and the disciples basically can't do it. You know, it's interesting. It's like the first time they encounter failure in the walk with Jesus, especially the supernatural walk with Jesus. And it's interesting because it could be the first time they're actually trying to minister. No, it's not the first time they think about it. But in a sense, it's like they feel Jesus is absent and far from them. They know he's commissioned them to do this, but they feel they're not able to do this on their own. And it's interesting that the boy with the demon, it's visible. He's like thrown on the floor, shakes, gnashes, looks like he's dead, foams at the mouth. You know, all these visible manifestations that oppress him. Anyway, they can't do it. Jesus comes, you know the story. He rebukes the disciples for the unbelief. I actually love the response, and it's a good response of the Father, who says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. He's like honest, saying, I've got faith, but actually I've got this unbelief swirling around in my heart as well. Jesus sets the boy free. And in verse 20 and 21, the disciples come, and in effect, it's like they do a post-mortem, post-ministry session with the Lord, and they say, why couldn't we do it? Why did we fail? Which is a legitimate question. And Jesus doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't talk about the sovereign will of God, the timing of the law, these things like that. Jesus says straight away, because of your unbelief. I know it's become like this mantra in church that we should never tell anybody they lack faith or they have unbelief. But Jesus does. Jesus says straight away, because of your unbelief. And then he says in let me read the passage in Matthew 17, 21. Because of your unbelief, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to a mountain, never mind a demon, be removed from here to there. It will move. Nothing will be impossible to you. However, this kind only goes out by prayer and fasting. And I'll come back to this in a later juncture in this teaching. But for years, many of us have read that to mean this kind of demon comes out by prayer and fasting. I now look at it differently. I think what Jesus is saying is this kind of unbelief comes out by prayer and fasting. And I think many of the church, frankly, we are exactly like the disciples there. Well, we know Jesus loves us. We know he's commissioned us. And yet so often when we come to a scenario where we're trying to, as it were, do the impossible, we fail. Why? Is it God's timing, God's will, the sovereign? No, it's because of our unbelief. And I want you to see this, folks. And again, I'll come back to this passage in session 4. Jesus had a lifestyle of fasting and prayer. And I believe there's something incredible and actually necessary about fasting and prayer, which will smash and destroy the power of unbelief. Let me zoom out a little bit. I really just want to whet your appetite and get you thinking about this today. I have been really in the last 3 months, in probably late August, September, October, November of this year, I have been fasting like I've never fasted before. And again, I'll cover that at a later time. Some people say you should never talk about fasting in public. I don't think that's true. I mean, I think I'm using just my life because it's the only one I've got as a template to teach from here. I'm not doing some video saying I'm fasting. I'm about to have lunch after this video, so not boasting anyway there. And I think Jesus's point when he says don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing is more don't put on this pity party. Don't go looking around miserable, oh, I'm fasting, don't you know? But so in the last 3 months, I've fasted probably more definitely, actually, more than I have done in my entire life. And again, maybe you're watching this today and this is a regular part of your life. I'll be honest, it never really was for me. There are some moments, think of a time about 20 years ago where I really fasted and saw breakthrough in my life that's still going on today. And I've probably done that occasionally in some little ways. I think in the past few years, I've done what some people, I don't think it's probably really accurate, but some people would call intermittent fasting by not having breakfast. So I don't usually start eating till lunchtime anyway, but that's pretty easy to do. It's probably more time restricted eating would be called. But what I've been doing in the last 3 months is basically, I'm not suggesting you need to do this, but it's just telling you my story. I've been fasting for about 40 hours and then I'll eat for 8 hours. And then I'll fast for 40 hours and I'll eat for 8 hours. So currently, and I may not do this for the rest of my life, but I'm in a lifestyle where, let's say I'm recording this on a Wednesday on, you know, Sunday evening, I had dinner, went to bed, and then I fasted all day Monday and fasted on till Tuesday lunchtime. So basically 40 hours. And then let's say from about 1 p.m. to 8 a.m., I could eat. And then I'll be fasting again. So my point is I've been going through some extended periods of fasting where I basically fast 40 hours, eat for 8 hours, fast 40 hours, eat for 8 hours. And again, as I progress through this, I'm gonna share some of the just practical physical keys I've learned from that. But here's what I really want you to catch. I began fasting purely for health reasons, want to lose some weight, bring my weight under control. But actually, a few days into this, I realized, hey, there's some incredible spiritual benefits to this that I've never really explored. And I have begun both studying and experimenting and actually learning to feed myself as I fast. What does that really mean, Graham? Here's what I mean about starving your body in that sense, but feeding the spirit, about pulling. Somebody once said, when you fast, you eat angels' food. And I think I have just found and discovered in my life there's something incredible about not feeding yourself physically and then coming to the Lord, bringing your hunger, as it were, like an offering, like Mary of Bethany brought that vase of ointment and smashed it at the feet of Jesus. And I love to bring my hunger to Him and pull on the Spirit. And I've discovered in my own life, it literally I feel the power of unbelief being destroyed in my life. It feels like when I'm fasting and I get this lasts for a few days afterwards, about the Lord is about 10 times more real to me than He was before that. Now, I don't mean He wasn't real to me. I don't mean I'm not walking in faith. I don't mean I believe in God. But I think if we're honest, most of us live in a place where the natural world, the world around us, the things we see, smell, feel, taste, and touch, or even our soul, our emotions, are so much more real to us than God is. Again, I'm not saying that critically, I'm saying that of myself. I think most of us live in a place where the world, the exterior world, our bodies or our emotions, basically take up about 98% of our bandwidth. And the Spirit, our human spirit, the Holy Spirit, angels, the things of the Spirit are real, but they're very, very small. And what I've discovered is the more you fast, it's like this great exchange takes place where the things on earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It's interesting, I was preaching in Belgium a month ago and I read a book while I was there. I'd never really read, I think I'd heard about it. And it was a book written in the 1950s by a guy named Brother Hall. And I'll be honest, the title, I'd heard of it, and it always sounded a little cheesy. I think it's called something like Atomic Power with God Through Prayer and Fasting. And it feels like one of these 50s, da-da-da-da, Pentecostal kind of books. And it's interesting, I heard somebody else teach on this book. And they actually began reading chapters and mentioning how many of the amazing men and women of God in the 40s and 50s, the healing evangelists, talk about Oral Roberts, Jack Coe, T.L. Osborne, Kenneth Hagin, Gordon Lindsay, William Branham, people like that, had their lives changed by reading this book. And I would encourage you to read it. I'm sure it's not a perfect book in any way, but basically the premise of this book is we are not seeing the power that God wants us to because we're not really engaged in sustained periods of prayer and fasting. We're living so much on the surface. I think that's especially true here in Europe or also in America. And I believe the Lord wants to take us deeper into this subject. Let me finish with two things here. Firstly, just a warning, it's very possible to fast and for that to be a religious thing, to be frankly what the Bible calls a dead work. Anytime we're trying to replace the blood of Jesus with our effort, anytime we're trying to manipulate God, and I've seen people do that through fasting, it's like if I fast for a week, God will be forced to heal me. Rather than saying, no, God's already done everything He needs to heal me, I need to change to receive, I need to reposture and reposition myself that I might receive all that the Lord has for me. So my encouragement with you is it's really important we take off a religious lens, a religious point of view, and we allow the Spirit of God to give us revelation on this subject. And lastly, I invite you to come with me on this journey. I believe there are incredible breakthroughs in the Lord. I think if you want to learn to hear God's voice, this will just accelerate you like nothing before. I think it's possible sometimes that we can have 3 years worth of growth in 3 weeks if we would only come and seek God and get really serious about seeking Him and frankly pay a price to do that. Boom. Guys, coming back tomorrow again when I'll talk about the why of fasting. But yeah, encourage you to pray about this and come on this journey with me. Thanks for watching. Do hit that subscribe button. Share this on social media or wherever you're watching. Bye.